to another episode of Between the Lines. I'm your host, Richard, and today we have a special episode. We have Mark Gowdy with us today. Mark is the County Executive Director for the Kearney County Farm Service Agency here in Lakin, Kansas. He is located on Santa Fe Trail Boulevard, so if you're in town, be sure to stop by and visit. I'm sure he'll take some time out just to even visit with people. So, Mark, glad to have you with us today.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for having me.
We're going to be visiting about a few things that the FSA have available for the local farmers. And do you actually cover ranchers too? Or is it mainly just farm?
Both, actually, you know, ag producers, both livestock and crop.
Okay.
Appreciate the opportunity.
See, I've always seen it as farm.
Sure. And I think that's pretty common, actually.
Okay. So if you're a rancher out there, I'm sure you're aware of all that too. But for all us people that are kind of in the sidelines, just proud that you guys are out there helping us with our food supply. We don't know the ins and outs, so that's why Mark's here to help us work through some of this for you. Some of the things we're going to be talking about today are some of the programs available through the FSA, and we wanted Mark to elaborate on some of the things that are available, maybe start with financial assistance that are
sure.
available through the FSA that might be available to farmers or ranchers.
Okay, thank you, Richard. And that kind of falls under several forms. One is, farm loans, I think, is probably when people first think of financial aid. And so we have a farm loan staff, which is part of Farm Service Agency, that services our area. And in the state, we have multiple farm loan staff offices that service multiple counties. So for Kearney County, we're currently serviced through the Stevens County farm loan staff. And they offer loans for people that if they need, you know, farm ownership, farm operating, beginning farmer, veteran farmer, limited resource farmers. They also have programs for youth loans, which is one of the more popular programs, I think, for kids that have ag products, either in a 4-H program or FFA program, or they have an advisor.
So if they had, you're talking about the kids right now, with the 4-H, let's say kids, I guess just say youth, so I apologize to our youth out there. With the loans that are available, would this be something like if they're raising a calf or a pig for the fair? Is that something that you're talking about or something different?
No, that's a great example, and I think that's where a lot of them get started. It is maybe a, like you said, a show animal for the fair. You know, that's the most
right.
common thing we think of. And then there's some of them that also do maybe some crop projects for the fair through 4-H. And so this is a great opportunity for kids to get started.
Now, with the crops, you mentioned that, but again, I'm coming from a novice point. Is that the produce section of the fair? That would that be the crop form of it, or is there a separate category involved in that?
Well, it sure could. Yeah, no, it definitely could be, especially
okay.
if we have a young youth in the area that is looking at maybe doing, getting into maybe crop production or something. Then they might start with a you and I might consider a large garden, but, you know, just kind of a real small farming operation where they'd have a garden and they could actually produce some crops on a small commercial basis. That would be another opportunity they might be able to get a loan for.
Okay.
And it would be, I believe they're limited to $5,000 in the youth loans, but they work directly with the youth. So it's a wonderful learning and management experience for some of our young ag producers that want to get started.
Okay, then I know with the loan that's out of Stevens County,
mm-hmm.
he actually comes up every third Tuesday or Thursday?
Every third Thursday, Richard. Thursday. Thanks for reminding me.
And he does that, but do you go out to the 4-H's or youth programs, or can they contact for you to come visit with them about the youth loans, or is there or do they need to come to the office?
Yep, they certainly can. I've done that in the past, and I'm welcome, and I would be happy to do it again. If any of our listeners would like to have either myself or with part of the farm loan staff maybe come to a meeting and explain some of the programs available and get a chance to meet them. Or like you'd mentioned, they do have a regular office day for Kearney County, which is, I believe, at 10 o'clock on the third Thursday of every month, as they've set aside to be available in Kearney County to take appointments or to meet people. But in between times, we're more than happy they can do a lot of the business either over the, scan an email or phone,
okay.
fax machines.
And with the loans here, that they're actually getting into a federal program that way. I mean, that's the establishment. And you have other programs that are, you know, vast majority of different programs within your office. But when they take on a program, mm-hmm. what responsibilities are they going to have that they're going to have to follow through with?
Okay, that's a good question. It kind of depends on what program they are involved with. And if they're, you know, just for a short period, we'll maybe stick with the youth. There are certain requirements they have to maintain the livestock and the and or crop projects in a responsible manner. They have to be accountable, and they have to, you know, make the payments, repayments. And so they'll deal directly with the youth on that, a great learning experience. And as they transition, or we transition into more of our traditional programs for the farmers and ranchers and dairymen in the area, then each of the programs have compliance requirements that are required to maintain, responsibilities on making sure that noxious weeds are controlled on the acreage that's involved in the program, especially crop side. If they're in some of the rangeland or livestock programs, they maintain the pastures in a responsible manner.
Okay. So it's not just a freebie. It's not, here's free money. You're expected to follow through with your responsibilities. And so I want to make sure everybody's aware of that, especially the youth growing up. It gives them a little bit of a responsibility on their own. I'm sure their parents would probably assist as well. But like you were mentioning, it gives them an opportunity to kind of branch out and start doing stuff on their own.
Oh, absolutely, Richard. And I've spoke with several folks that have transitioned from that. They started with one of these youth programs. Like you said, you mentioned maybe a show animal or a couple livestock for the fairs, and then have been able to maintain a starter herd or starter group pair that have transitioned into a full-fledged ranching operation now, but they actually got their start through a youth loan in a 4-H project.
One of the things you mentioned with the responsibilities for whether it's a youth program or an actual farmer or rancher is, I guess this would be more of a farmer, is the noxious weeds with the crops. You know, when I think of noxious, it's kind of like, you know, it turns the stomach and stuff. What's considered a noxious weed, and what are the responsibilities of taking care of that land besides just the noxious weeds? Are there any other types of avenues to take care of the land as well?
Sure, you bet, Richard. One of the, you know, you mentioned what is a noxious weed. Well, in essence, it's any undesirable plant on that acreage, but typically we have a bindweed and related weeds, and I believe, and one I can't even pronounce the name of, but they're, you know, and we work with the noxious weeds department, but there are some definitely invasive species of weed or plant that come into the cropland that they're required to maintain. And then you'd mentioned other requirements. Well, wind and water erosion is a big one, especially in this part of the country where we do have a fairly consistent wind situation, and we have some sandier soils, or we call sensitive soils.
We've definitely had some brownouts with the dust in the air a few summers and springs. So.
Absolutely, and our goal is to have less dust in the air through these programs.
And you mentioned, you know, with the dust, you know, we're not in the Dust Bowl by any means, but sometimes you feel like it because you can barely see in front of you on some of the windy days. Helping with the erosion, that's part of what we're going through right now, not just in our area, but different areas throughout the U.S., but with the drought and the farmers dealing with the drought with not just their livestock, but also the crops that are involved and some of the losses are taken. How can the FSA help them in any form or fashion?
Sure, Richard. We have different programs, crop disaster programs, as well as some insurance. Like we have what's called a NAP policy available on crops that aren't traditionally able to be insured. And those are affected by weather events. So you mentioned drought is one of them, or could be a hailstorm, or maybe, God forbid, flooding or a severe freeze. We do have those programs available, as well as just maintaining their acreage history. And so if they've experienced a loss like you asked, what they would do is they'd want to notify the Farm Service Agency of that loss within 10 days of that loss becoming apparent. And then they just file a loss with us and let us know that their crops are affected due to a weather event. And then if there's a disaster program available, we've got that documentation. And for the insurance purposes as well, we keep a running record of their crops, the acreage history. And so if it is affected negatively by a weather event, they have that recorded history with us as well.
So it gives them a little bit of a support system in case something should happen.
Absolutely.
Now, my brother-in-law I listened to him a few times. He deals with in farming, and he has a feedlot. And some of the friends here that I know, you know, we're talking about he's always having to swap out crops to kind of help the land stay fertile or some type. I'm not sure exactly. I'm assuming that's what it's for. But then you also hear the term CRP, which he never really talked about much. But coming up here with some of the friends, I continuously heard that. And I, again, since I'm unfamiliar with the terminology, I was kind of at a loss of what CRP is, but that is available. Would you explain what that acronym stands for and what's available to, whether it be a farmer or a rancher, what the requirements are, what that entails for them to actually get into the CRP? Because I'm not quite familiar with that.
Sure. And that's the acronym stands for Conservation Reserve Program. And the program is designed originally, and it continues to help maintain, restore the land, reduce the amount of erosion on some of the more highly sensitive soils in the different counties. And they do that through in either restoring, enhancing, or protecting certain grasses, shrubs, and trees to improve both water quality, prevent soil erosion, and reduce loss of wildlife habitat and to wind erosion. And so typically it's we think of the grass, but there's other covers available as well.
Right. So you said it was for the sensitive soil. My brother-in-law was talking about rotating crops. Mm-hmm. Does that eventually become needed to be CRP2 at some point, or does it just depend on the land?
It kind of depends on the land and what their objectives are with the land. The CRP is originally designed for those maybe pieces of ground that were broke out of necessity or for a farming operation that turned into maybe less productive ground or are more susceptible to the erosion elements.
Okay, and if somebody's going through this, how do they get involved with that program and become established through your office?
Sure, there's basically three options now. One is called a general sign-up, which we're in the middle of right now. Until February 26th, we're in the middle of what's called a general sign-up, in which any eligible ground can be offered into a CRP contract, 10 to 15 years, depending on the practice they select. And that's a limited time frame. And it's not every year, but each sign-up period is just for a limited time frame that people can offer ground that either is expired, or has never been offered. Option number two would be what's called a continuous sign-up, and there are certain CRP practices that are available anytime to be offered into a program, a 10 to 15-year program, and it's limited by the eligibility of the ground and the number of acres allocated to each state and or county. And then the third option, which was brand new this last fall, is called CRP Grasslands, in which they can actually offer ground that has never been cropland. So in our native pastures, like your brother-in-law, if he's got some native pastures, grassland, that he'd like offering to a 15-year contract. Again, it's just grassland, so it's never been cropped. So it's just the goal of it is to protect the grassland from being broken out and be grazed in a responsible manner. So working program. So unlike a traditional CRP where you're limited on what you can do on it, okay, the CRP grasslands is a lot more flexible.
And with those, you mentioned the last option, there was a 15-year contract. I didn't realize it was for such a long period. Mm-hmm. Is that another attempt just to get the land back to established to where it was basically? Or is there an option where if an agent comes out, I'm not sure if it's an agent or a representative comes out from your office and tests it, say it's good to go, do those contracts sometimes get cut shorter for individuals, or are they pretty much set?
Once they're offered into the contract's been accepted into the program, then they're typically go to the term of the contract. Okay. The exceptions would be is if the producer isn't accountable and responsible for maintaining that cover in a responsible manner or getting it established in a acceptable manner. We'll work with them pretty extensively to help them get that done. But if that happens, then the contract could be terminated. If the ground is sold and the new owner chooses not to continue with the contract, it could come out.
Never thought of that.
Sometimes circumstances change in people's lives. They need that. They want to break the ground back out, or maybe they're going to put a house up on that, and so they can buy out a portion of the contract.
Okay. And so they do have a few options with
sure.
it. So that's not just a hard and fast, this is what has to be done. But again, they do have some responsibilities to uphold their end of the agreement through the contract. You said they have a few, you know, like any type of contract they enter into.
Absolutely. Basically, the government's paying rent on the ground to take it out of production agriculture, but be maintained in a farmable manner. So we want the cover on it, the native grasses or whatever on the ground, to prevent any erosion, but we also want it to be maintained responsibly so that it can be used for commercial operations as well.
Not necessarily let it grow wild.
our goal is not to.
You want to get it back into production.
Eventually, or at least have that option.
Right, okay.
That's one of the reasons why you hear trees is one of the issues is people, trees are you're not allowed to be on CRP.
I've been noticing, and this is kind of a sidebar, I guess, in a sense, and if you know the answer, that's great. If not, I know it might be a different area of the agency. But it seems like, you know, all the trees going through Oklahoma, because we lived down there before we moved up here, but also around here, especially around the riverbeds, you know, they're so old, they're starting to die.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this might be I know about the windrow program, mm-hmm. but is there anything else besides windrow for the tree population to be redone? Not necessarily redone, but repurposed to have them, I guess, reseeded, I guess is what I'm saying. Not redone, but reseeded. Because I know that I see a lot of farmers, especially down where my wife lives, they've taken out swaths of trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of them are trying to replant, but there are some that I don't see replanted. And it's kind of like, it's almost like, are we starting to see some of these things get back to where, you know, we're seeing more dust in the air?
Mm-hmm.
Is this just farmers not realizing what's available? And I know this is why you're here trying to get word out, but, you know, is that part of it? They're new farmers or they just don't all realize the programs?
Well, I honestly not sure the answer to that for sure, Richard. I think there's a kind of a two-part answer. We do have, as far as reestablishing or helping farmers with maybe the windrows and stuff, we do have some windbreak programs, CRP programs that allow for some planting of trees.
Okay.
We do have a Kansas forester in Garden City that maybe we can get him on sometime.
Okay.
And that might be able to help with that reestablishment part of it. But I think a lot of it is just the severe drought that we've been in for the number of years, even some ground that's been responsibly farmed weren't able to combat the harsh elements.
Okay.
With the drought, but the exposed ground, the more ground that's more tillage operations, more cultivation practices that are done, the more likely the ground will break loose. Okay. In a situation. So
okay,
if it's
again, I apologize for going on a sidebar, but it just kind of popped in my head right there. So
well, that's okay. Yeah, I don't know a farmer around that, you know, their intent is to always limit that or reduce it, but
right.
I think
but it's just one of those trends that I've seen down in Oklahoma a lot here lately that is like, wow, there's a lot of trees that are being taken out. And it's not that they're taking out live trees, though. They are legitimately, they're dead.
Yeah.
They can no longer be. I mean, if a strong wind comes up or a storm, they're going to be ripped up anyway and possibly sure. cause hazards that way. But we've been talking about storms and droughts and everything like that. We're a downer this time, I guess.
Okay.
But we're on a positive because you mentioned you do help the youth. They have the programs for the youth. They have a program, the AGI certification for the adjusted gross income for our farmers or the tenants on the land. There's a lot of programs, and since I'm, you know,
What the adjusted gross income certifications are is basically that's an eligibility question, Richard. And farmers have to demonstrate that their average adjusted gross income over a 3-year period is above a certain level, essentially $900,000 per year, then they would not be eligible for federal program benefits. But I'm glad you brought it up because we require the producers, folks that participated in our federal programs, to certify annually as to their adjusted gross income that they meet the qualifying, fall below that level. And I think especially for some maybe of our absentee landowners, they get this eligibility paperwork,
mm-hmm.
and we send another adjusted gross income form to them the next year. They hesitate to send it back because, well, they filled one of those out.
But it has to be kept up each year?
Right. It's annually. It rolls forward. It's essentially, if you take away last year, then the three previous years to that is the average that we're looking for those 3 years. Okay. And so every year we move forward, then, of course, that moves that period time period forward, and they have to maintain eligibility for that.
Okay.
And we do require that annually.
Okay. So the main thing is be aware of the paperwork that needs to be filed and try to stay up on the paperwork. And
right.
That will help the farmers and ranchers tremendously, just keeping up with the paperwork and following through with your office.
To make right. Sure. Maintain ensuring that they stay eligible, and we try to, you know, we'll send them the information. If we know it's remission sent, we'll try to contact them, but we can't issue payments if they've earned a payment. We can't issue it until we have all of the eligibility paperwork in, including the suggested gross income form.
So definitely, if you said whether they moved out of the location, be sure to stop by the FSA office. With the changing of technology, we have cell phones coming in and out. People are swapping out. And some of them are even changing numbers pretty frequently. So this is one of those areas where you need to contact the FSA office and make sure they have current contact information, especially their phone number and also mailing address for sure, and even email. I think it's that we're in the technology age as well.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Richard, because that is one of the challenges. And I think, like you mentioned, you know, the people that are absentee no longer live here necessarily. They don't always think of us as a place that needs to be reminded of those changes, and we do run into that, so I'm glad you brought that up. And especially now, we're not only the cell phones, but we do so much electronically. Most of our newsletters are all done through the email now, and so like you said, people change their email address. We don't have the new one. They no longer get the information, right. And that's probably our main source of correspondence now.
It's just trying to keep in touch technology-wise.
Absolutely.
And I know some of the older generation, I know my parents, they're kind of have their toes in it a little bit, but not much. But stop in the FSA offices to get to know your representatives, the people that are there to help you face-to-face even, because a lot of people, especially the younger ones, this is where I'm talking to the younger crowd even more now probably, is they're almost too dependent on the technology, and they don't know who they're actually communicating with. So it's nice to actually be face-to-face, maybe not all the time, but occasionally. And I know because you just had a recent retirement from somebody there, so there's a new individual in one of the positions there that's been there only a few months, I believe.
That's right.
So, you know, it's like any place else. People will come and go for maybe moving. You mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. So be aware that, you know, keep in contact with the FSA office because they're there to help you. They're not, you know, some people say it's a government agency. No, but they are there to help you. So take advantage of the help that they're providing for everybody that's out there that's associated with the farming community or the ranching community. They're there to help you.
It's our goal.
We've been talking about a few different things within the programs and stuff. One of the things, you have the calendar that's coming up. We have our community calendar where we try to let people know what's happening within the community, what's happening within your organization that's coming up for you.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah, just to remind people in the next couple months or so, some things just to let people know. On February the 15th, it's a federal holiday, President's Day, so the USDA service centers will be closed on that day in case people are making their plans to stop in and meet us like you encouraged them that we won't be available that day. And then on that same week, February the 18th, would be the regularly scheduled a visit from the farm loan staff that you had mentioned earlier. That would be their next visit here in Kearney County. And then the general sign-up that we talked about for the CRP program, that ends February 26th. So if they're interested in making an offer under the general sign-up, they have until February 26th to get that offer into the office by close of business that day. And then the continuous sign-ups, so they can sign up any time as long as it's eligible and we have acres.
We've been visiting, and of course you've mentioned all the dates and everything. Do you want to mention the actual location where you're located at? And if you want to list, give them your contact information of how to contact you through various means.
Sure. The USDA Service Center here in Lakin is like you mentioned, is on Highway 50. It's just west of the intersection of Highway 25 and 50, next to Flashback's Diner and near Dr. Riedel's chiropractic office on the north side of the road. We have three agencies within the USDA Service Center, the Farm Service Agency, Natural Resources Conservation Service, and the Kearney County Conservation District. The FSA phone number is 620-355-3500. 7911. Our hours of operation are from 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. daily. The Natural Resources Conservation Service and Kearney County Conservation District phone number is 620-355-7511. Same hours of operation.
So if you're out and about, stop by, visit with Mark and some of the staff there at the office. If you're interested in getting in touch with them by phone, we'll have their phone numbers on our references on the webpage when we post this episode, so you can get those numbers there. They're also, of course, in the federal section of the telephone book if you really need to get in touch with them. So stay in touch with your FSA office. They're there to help you. Is there anything else you want to mention briefly before we take off, Mark, or is that...
Well, I would like to thank you, Richard, and this service that you provide for another way of communication, get the information out. And I really do appreciate that and look forward to maybe doing it on a regular basis, and we can just keep our...
We'd be glad to. That's what we're here for. We have fun talking with people.
Well, so. I sure appreciate it.
So, and just also remember, this isn't just for the adult farmers and ranchers. Remember, we also talked about the youth in our community. So if any of our youth are listening, or any parents that have youth that are interested in the farming or ag community, be sure to contact Mark as well, or one of his staff members. So Mark, appreciate you coming in again today. It's been fun.
Thank you, Richard. I've enjoyed it.
All right. Everybody out there, enjoy your family and friends as you're visiting, and enjoy your week. For Kearney County Library, this is Richard. We are located at 101 East Prairie Street, catty corner from the Lakin Elementary School. If you need to get in touch with the library, our phone number is 355-6674. For additional library information, you can visit our website at kearneycolib.info, kearneycolib.info. Or you can visit our Facebook page listed under Kearney County Library. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We look forward to seeing you at the library.